Hello and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games. My name is Richie, and with me as always is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will say hello and will tell us where to find us on the internet. Tell you.
Tell us. Hi, sports fans. It's Kunzy11, aka Farley here. You can find our writings at www.thatguys.co.uk. And on all the socials, some of the socials, at That Guy's a Maniac, all one word, all lowercase. And as Richie said, this is That Guy's a Maniac DS. For this season, we're taking inspiration from the DS era of gaming, where a number of video games had a subtitle with a D and an S. For example, Tetris Daddy Shagger.
That's not true, is it? That's not true. You've made a list of all of these kids, DS. You cannot make a fake one.
Arguably the best Tetris version of Tetris there is. Before the season started, we prepared a bunch of D words and a bunch of S words, so I've got a big bag of D's. Richie, can you ruffle in here and pull out a D?
I need to get my hand deep into that bag of D's and choose the perfect D.
Find a D.
I'm going to find one. Oh, well, this one is called Dice.
Dice. Okay, I've got the bag of S's over here. Scruffling for the S's. And I've got... forgot what we... score!
Brilliant.
Dice. Score. What can we do with this combination of random words?
Maybe we could do a themed one around board games, because board games have scores and dice.
That sounds like a great idea, Richie. Before we start on the topic of daddy shagging, can you explain to me, like, is Bowser Jr. Bowser's son?
Yeah.
What about the Koopalings? What's their relation?
They are also his offspring.
Are they?
Yeah.
What do you think they were?
No?
No. I remember some internet discourse about... they're not Bowser's children.
Why not? I mean, well, I suppose they're called Koopa. Is Bowser called Bowser Koopa? Maybe we shouldn't go down this path of asking these questions when neither of us actually
know
the answer.
I'm on the Super Mario Wiki.
Okay.
Can you name all the Koopalings?
Oh, God. Ludwig. Yes. Wendy.
Yes.
Iggy.
Yes.
Lemmy.
Yes.
Morton.
Yes.
I think that's where I have to stop.
Really well. You're missing Roy and Larry.
Roy and Larry. I knew there was another L in there.
Yeah,
God,
Roy Orbison and I don't know who Larry's based on.
Yeah.
Koopalings. Just minions.
Just minions.
Yeah. But they are siblings.
Okay. But we don't know their offspring connection. Okay. Okay.
No. Maybe their nephews and nieces. Oh, hang on. Originally, they were depicted as Bowser's children.
Yeah.
And stated to be his offspring. And there's like five references.
Okay.
Older games continue to maintain them as his children in re-released and updated manuals. However, Shigeru Miyamoto, ruiner of Nintendo lore, eventually affirmed that Nintendo's current story is the Koopalings are not Bowser's children in 2012.
Wow. Do you reckon it was like a paternity test or something?
Yeah, some deep scandal that Nintendo was covering up, and then in 2012 decided to...
Do you know what it'll be? It'll be like Bowser Jr.'s got Peach's DNA, whereas the other ones have got Daisy's DNA.
Gross.
What? You don't think when he kidnaps her, they, like, get it on?
No, I don't.
Okay.
He just wants her to make cake.
Yeah. He wants to eat that cake.
So board games. We're talking about board games as video games, video games as board games.
Yes, yes, that is the theme. So games, board games, board game games.
Board game games.
So I hear you've done a lot of prep and have some ideas.
So much prep.
So much prep. Okay.
So what are my ideas? One of my grand ideas. I think we've mentioned a couple of times before on the vlog and in the podcast, is with rare exception, video games based on board games are not rigged.
Rare exceptions, yeah.
Rare.
But I think board game, sorry, video games based on board games or other way around?
Video games based on board, like Monopoly, the video game.
Yeah, yeah, like, not interested in that. No. With rare exceptions, as long as your, like, standards aren't ridiculously high, I've found the Trivial Pursuit series of games always quite engaging. Especially
in my mind, I think because we've played one together, and in my mind, I'm sure this is Trivial Pursuit. They added like a bunch of really annoying animations. We didn't really need them. Like the cheese wheel would bounce along and just move around quickly.
Well, I mean, you have that option. You can turn those animations off and on. I just leave them on, but yeah. So I played several iterations of Trivial Pursuit.
All right.
I know. There's rather. Weirdly, I remember playing the C64, Commodore 64 version of Trivial Pursuit, which I remember was terrible, along with Pictionary, but we can talk about that one later. But yeah, so it was basically, there was a little man who would actually ask the questions and things like that, but it was all very, very much honors system. So it was kind of like, did you get it right?
I like that. Yeah, I got it right. Yeah.
I'm really that smart. Yeah. I knew how many square meters of tunneling there are for gas oil under the North Sea. Where did that come from?
Here's a real question from C64 Trivial Pursuit.
Okay,
whose
go for it.
Alleged bow and arrows are preserved at Kirklees Hall, Yorkshire.
Okay, I've put in my answer.
Did you get it right?
Yes. Amazing. Great.
What is the answer to that?
I have no idea what the answer is.
Robin Hood? But then Robin Hood didn't exist?
Robin thingy Loxley thing did, didn't he not?
Just because you know his proper surname doesn't mean he exists.
But he... okay, I'm not gonna... I mean, I'm basing my knowledge of Kevin Costner, so I'm not gonna...
I'm not gonna have a bow and arrow. Will Young?
What was the question again? I didn't pay attention. I was too busy gearing myself up for the joke.
Whose alleged bow and arrows are preserved at Kirklees Hall, Yorkshire?
Kirklees in Yorkshire. Yeah. Is Sherwood in Yorkshire?
No, it's Nottingham. Is Nottingham in Yorkshire?
It's Nottingham in Yorkshire? I've no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Apparently Robin Hood's grave is in Yorkshire.
Okay, then let's go with Robin Hood then.
Okay, well, we've got no way to check.
Oh, great. Did you get it right?
Yes.
Brilliant. Let's move on.
Yes.
But yeah, so I remember playing that, and it's really weird that I remember that whole did you get it right? And again, that honor system carried to the Pictionary thing as well, which is, yeah, anyway. But I also played the 360 versions of, versions of Trivial Pursuit. And the one that I think we've played, I think we've actually played both, but there is just a straight up Trivial Pursuit version, which is play on a board, and you go through and you play as normal with Trivial Pursuit. It brings up the answers. Each person plays with a separate controller and presses their buttons, and everything's quite cool. And it's got the animations and things like that, and you've got a guy who's, you know, announcing everything and stuff like that. You also have a quick version, which means that you sort of play versus each other and you're trying to get the colours as quickly as possible. And like, so once you get a wedge, like if you get a green wedge, all of the green squares disappear from the board and it shrinks down. Yeah, I like that one. That was quite a cool way of shortening the game. Sorry?
Can I park that thought? Did you get a legit copy of Trivial Pursuit on the
C64? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because that is a beautiful product. Have you seen it? Or do you remember it?
I don't think I got a deluxe special box or anything. I think it's a Commodore 64 tape case.
You know, it's got like all the Trivial Pursuit branding. There's a nice, beautiful yellow book. Yeah, very nicely done.
Oh, okay. I mean, there is a very good chance I did, but that doesn't ring a bell.
Maybe you'll recognise it. Do you recognise the Trivial Pursuit blue or teal tapes?
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely just... Yeah, no. I think it was just... Oh, no, wait a minute. Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. Commodore Genus Edition.
It's nice.
I no longer have that anywhere.
It's a nice product.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, then that was so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that you look into this sort of stuff. I completely forgotten that even existed. But yeah, do you see the little man that asks questions?
Yeah, there's a little man. And then there's somebody, I'm surprised. There's like almost as many different versions as there are Mary-Kate and Ashley games. Because there's like Trivial Pursuit the next level or something, or...
Well, what I was about to say is on the 360 and also on the Switch, there is another Trivial Pursuit game.
Trivial Pursuit A New Beginning on the
C64. Oh, right, on the C64. Are we still back then? Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Yeah, no, I don't remember that much.
Do you know, that would be quite a good game to play with a group of us.
What, the brilliant, yeah, it would be so much fun. Did you get it right? Yes.
Which 20th century British Prime Minister was 1/16th Iroquois Indian? Apologies if those are not the correct terms.
I don't think those are correct terms anymore. I've no idea.
Me neither. I mean, you could also just ask name a 20th century British Prime Minister. I don't so struggle.
John Major.
John Major.
This is the best. I love the fact that a lot of our podcasts this season have been really, really visual. And spent a lot of time with us researching on the fly.
The answer might be...
Might be.
Oh my god.
Winston Churchill. There you go, there's another 20th century politician.
No idea.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you get it right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well done. Good job.
Yep, fantastic.
Did you cheat when you played it?
Probably. I mean, I was probably around 12, 13 when I played it.
These quite tough questions for 12, 13-year-old.
Yeah, it really is. And like, you're not going to say no after spending half an hour of trying to get the game to load up watching the the Commodore loading sequences and stuff like that. Yeah.
It'd be quite fun to play with, like, without the internet.
Well, just I'll dig out
encyclopedias.
I'll dig out the Commodore 64 machine, remember?
That we had.
It works with every single Commodore 64 ROM as well. Yeah. Which is where we played Shadow of the Beast and Fiendish Freddy. Yeah. But that's something for Season 3, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh God! Don't mix the seasons up, man.
Mix the seasons up. Anyway, you were going to say something before I.
Yes, I was talking about another Trivial Pursuit game.
Switch, yes.
Which is also on the Switch and also on the 360. The Switch version just came out. It's called Trivial Pursuit Live.
Wait, it's on the 360 and Switch.
That I know of. It might be on other platforms.
Okay.
Maybe available on other platforms. Other platforms are available.
What is the current Xbox? I don't know anymore, man. Series?
Xbox One, 2?
Series X?
Xbox Series X, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know anymore.
I know there's a small version which doesn't have a DVD drive. DVD drive. Did they ever have a DVD drive?
No, they didn't.
There's a wasp outside my window.
I still secretly want the DVD player for the GameCube.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah. Because I think if you've got all this shit for the GameCube, it's all just stacked underneath, right? I don't know if you could stack it all. It was like one at a time. I like to think you could just stack them all and you just have this huge tower of a GameCube.
Like a totem pole.
Yeah. Yeah, they could play GBA games and DVDs. Digital radio, modem maybe.
A modem, of course, yeah. Play whatever one game that came out that was modem enabled.
Probably Phantasy Star.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it was on Dreamcast. Or did Fantasy? I have no idea. Anyway, Trivial Pursuit.
Original Fantasy Star was on the Mega Drive.
Trivial Pursuit Live.
Yes. Is it as good as 100 vs. 1? That's all the listeners, the readers want to know.
No, nothing is good as 100 vs. 1. You can never, ever, ever, ever compare anything to 100 vs. 1. There are people who play games who weren't born when 100 vs. 1 came out.
They won't know. They won't even know.
No.
Brilliant.
Yeah. People won cars.
Yeah. I remember when the Penny Arcade guys hosted it.
It was great.
What a game.
Yeah. And why hasn't anyone done it again?
I don't know. Such an easy format. Readers, if you've not heard us talk about 100 vs. 1 before... it's like the game show 100 vs. 1, but you were playing with people over the internet. And so, it played off what percentage of people got the answer correct. And if you were in the minority, I think you got more points. And it was brilliant.
It whittled down, but it was the questions were asked quick enough that you probably couldn't Google them. Yep. But nowadays, you could just probably get Siri right beside it. You know,
probably just train a machine to do it.
Yeah, I think that's why we don't have 100 vs. 1 anymore.
Shame.
Yeah, because of these bastards that would cheat.
Did you
get it right?
Yeah.
Did Siri get it right?
Yeah. Tell me about this Switch version, please. Okay. Trivial Pursuit Live, TP Live.
Yeah, TP Live was a game show version of Trivial Pursuit. And I'm pretty sure we have played it. Because I think that's where you named your character Butt Lester.
Butt Lester.
Yeah.
One of my favourite alts.
Yeah. but basically you get to choose from about, I don't know, 8 characters. One of them is like a woman in a big hat, so of course we always choose the woman in the big hat. And it is it's about 4 or 5 rounds of different ways of like answering questions, and you gain points for each sort of category. So obviously you get like science and nature, entertainment, and you know, that the usual Trivial Pursuit ones. And then towards the end you sort of like face off versus one another, and then eventually one person goes into a grand slam to see how many points they can get. And yeah, it's just basically different format. It's called Trivial Pursuit because it has Trivial Pursuit questions and Trivial Pursuit themed
categories.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good, and I think we've had fun with it.
You know, talking about it as an example of a good adaptation.
Yeah.
It reminds me, and it's not really a thing that happens anymore. Do you remember pub quiz machines?
Yes.
You spent hours on those.
And they kept going until like, I don't know, do you still get them? I feel like
I don't
you don't.
Think you do. I've not seen them for a while. I mean, I've not thought about them for a long time. I don't think you don't see them anymore.
No. It's because they were usually like also bundled in with a fruit machine simulator thing.
They were
well.
They were fruit machine adjacent. And
yeah.
A selection of games, one of which was pub quiz. Others were a bit, I think it's like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type jobby.
Yeah.
And it depending on how much money was in them,
it would depend on how difficult the questions were.
Yeah, and the payout. But obviously, I don't know, it'd be fascinating to try and hunt down a developer of those machines and ask them how. You did get questions coming up, but, you know, how often do they have to update the questions so that people wouldn't just drive around an area and hoover up all the quiz machines?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they could have been connected to the internet at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I used to quite enjoy that, like, going out with my mates and, sort of mid-2000s, all standing around with our drinks in our hands and everybody shouting what the answer was, you know, like,
yeah.
Most commonly spoken language is Spanish. Spanish, mate.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, the good first hour of a pub session would be quiz machines.
Yeah. The beach is not good at the pub anymore.
I mean, there's also that.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist. I think it's because students don't go to the pub anymore.
Oh, yeah, of course, they all teetotal snowflakes.
Go to the gym. Health of it.
Fucking bastards.
Destroyed the quiz game culture.
Yeah. Their actions. How dare they? How dare they?
How dare they?
Yeah. Anyway, right. So that was Trivial Pursuit I was talking about.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's a pretty solid addition to our Trivial Pursuit board game. Oh, sorry. Board games, video games, video games, board games.
Board, video games, dice scores.
Yes, exactly. And Trivial Pursuit has dice, so therefore it.
The drag race.
Yep.
Car version.
Cool. Not the dressing up as ladies one.
No, that'd be a very strange noise.
Yes. Okay. So what do we have next in our bank of? Video game, board game, board game, video games. What? Let's just talk about the elephant in the room, shall we?
Yeah.
Which is
Mario
Party. Sure.
Okay. What was your elephant?
We'll go for later. Never mind.
No, go on.
No. I was gonna talk about Resident Evil, since we are Resident Evil.
Oh, that wasn't
an
elephant. Okay, yeah.
But no, it's fine. Like, let's talk Mario Party.
Is Mario Party a board game, Richie?
Yes, it is.
But it's the kind of board game, I mean, it already tears families apart.
it tears apart the fabric of the definition of what a board game is.
I knew if there was like a real version of that, that at the end just fucked everything around and didn't really matter anymore. I think,
yeah,
it would destroy families. Much table flipping, ahoy.
So what we're referring to is you can be winning a game of Mario Party. You can be several
winning the entire game.
Entire game. Yep. Then, at the end, there is a sort of, here's some awards for some random things that the computer has decided. Like, you were the most unlucky, or you were the most, you ate the most fish, or something stupid like that. But the rewards are random. And then they'll go to people. And even if you have the most stars, at the end, anyone can win by this random factor. There is no way to beat this. There is just playing it till you get to the end and then getting fucked over by Bowser Chance. Jr. Or who is it? Shy Guy? Or no, it's Koopa.
Birdo? No.
Is Koopa. Koopa? Koopa. Koopa.
Koopa.
No, it's not Koopa. Who hosts? It's Toad.
Toad.
Oh. Toad, the little fuck. Yeah.
What a shithead.
Yeah. What a daddy shagger.
What a daddy shagger. I don't mind Toad.
Ugh. I do when he dicks us over with. It's been a very, very sweary episode.
I know. It's fair enough. showing up.
Yeah.
But listen, our friendship is strongly built around Mario Party.
It is. So initial Mario Parties that came out, was it Mario Party 3 that we played in a Virgin Megastore?
This for, like, is a how good... fucking geological we are. In our breaks we would go and play Mario Party on the N64 in a Virgin Megastore when all three of those things existed.
Mario Party 3 was current. You know,
it's the new game. It's why they had a demo pod.
Yeah, a demo pod.
Yeah.
But yeah, we really just went, not even in our break, we pretty much skipped a lesson.
Just whole days. Yeah, whole days. Just spent that demo pod.
We spent hours. Nobody cared. Like, no. The Virgin Megastore was never like heaving. There was never like a queue of people who wanted to play it.
There's a reason why it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody was going there.
But yeah, we went to the Virgin Megastore.
Yeah.
Stood because it had two controllers, and we and our friends were behind us watching us play.
Yeah.
And we'd do like a full round, and a full round can last like 45 minutes. Easy. Yeah. Easy.
They've just come to Nintendo Switch Online.
Have they? The old Mario Party?
I think two, three, and maybe another.
I think I'd like to play three as
me
well.
Too. The nostalgia feels.
But yeah, yeah, totally.
Maybe we can like get in touch with a local HMV and say, can we just, I know this is a strange request, we'll pay. Can we set up a Switch in the corner on the TV?
You're laughing about that, but there's more and more of that shit actually happening. So there's a new video games cafe just beside St. Paul's, which is about like just setting these things up and having the pods to yourself, or having all of the accessories and stuff like that, and just having and being in this sort of LAN environment, but without, but casual, like casual LAN.
Nice.
That's really cool. I like that.
Do you reckon we could play Mario Party there?
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Let's do it.
I mean, my sofa also works.
Yeah, I know, but it's not going to be the same.
No, I wouldn't.
Without that slight fear that we'd be kicked out at any point.
Yeah. And yeah, of course, when we get sweary and shouty. When the bad things happen.
With the Mario Party randomness, I feel like they've been getting a little bit more balance. I know that no one's talking about Mario Party Balance.
No.
But I feel like they're getting a little bit more balance. It's a little bit less random.
Nah.
And they've given you the tools to, you know, fuck each other over by stealing stars.
Yeah, but you could always do that kind of stuff, but it was... At the end, it's really, really bad because it is a selection of different awards that get given out. Yeah. You can't make it happen.
Well, also it's based on dice rolls, right? So sometimes it gives out the most squares traveled award, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Nothing. But it's the thing is that it's sometimes the heels give that one out, not consistently either.
Yeah.
You know, that's the evil part about Mario Party. It's the journey. This is the journey.
It's true. It's the journey. But also, I think that ending is like a strong moral lesson in life. Yeah, you did everything right. You made the good dice rolls. You bested everyone at the mini games. But listen, life doesn't care.
Yeah, no, life doesn't care. Life
thinks
that this other person who did fuck all.
Birdo.
Yeah, deserves... deserves all the credit.
Yeah.
Suck yeah. It. It's like the Kardashians.
Exactly like that. And on that note, I think it's break time.
We've reached the middle of the podcast.
Welcome to the middle of the podcast, everybody. How's
welcome
the first
to the
half going.
Yeah, I think we're halfway through. I think it's not too bad. I mean, for you winging it entirely, I think it's...
we mentioned dice.
We did.
I'm looking forward to the second half where we talk about scores. but as is That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS tradition, in the halfway house middle of the podcast, we... ask each other the ultimate video game trivia questions. I've got two questions for you, Richie.
Okay. You go first.
All right. In, and you'll know from the second word whether you will be able to answer this question or not. In Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. I've never heard of this game before in my life. Have you?
No. Yes, I have. I know exactly what it is in the character. But I've never played it.
Okay. Well, you might be able to answer. Senua embarks on her quest to save Dillion's soul from which goddess?
I've no idea.
Guess
a
goddess. Get a
goddess. Persephone.
No. Was she a goddess?
Was she not like an offspring of a goddess? Okay. Aphrodite.
No, it was Hela.
Hela, of course. Yeah. Okay. She got this. Okay. Cool. All right. Okay, I got one for you, Farley.
Great.
And again, let's see if you know this one. In What Remains of Edith Finch? Which character is revealed to have drowned on his family boat crossing to America?
Oh.
You've played it. You spent the time. You've invested in this game.
I loved it. I thought that the question was going to be... the answer was going to be the baby who drowns in the bathtub, which is fucking rough to play through.
Wow, okay.
Spoilers for...
ever going to play it.
Yeah, it's one of the roughest things in video games. It gets like all euphoric as the baby's drowning. It's gross. George, or the dad, I don't know.
Rather ironically, it's quite related to your answer.
Is it Dillion?
No, it's Odin Finch.
Oh. That's good.
Well, there we go. Right, okay, you give me the second one.
Strange?
Life is Strange?
Protagonist Max Caulfield is a student of which subject at Blackwell Academy.
English.
No, it's photography.
No, oh, okay.
Have you played Life is Strange?
No.
It's quite good. I think you like it.
Really?
You like role playing angsty teenage girls?
That's true. Maybe I'm just too overqualified for that game.
They don't transform into sexy consoles though, so maybe it's not.
No. Not very good, eh? What are the RPG mechanics? Do they get any power-ups in Life is Strange?
No, they don't get any power-ups. There's no...
It's not a game. It's not a game.
There's no spark jumping at the end. Life is Strange. Just have to answer questions and solve mysteries.
Right. Okay. Last one. You ready? Okay. Are you prepped?
One point. We've got no points so far.
You could say we've got a bad score at the moment.
Oh!
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
After its original release in Japan,
Resident Evil 2.
By what name was the Sega Mark III known worldwide?
Sega Mark III?
Sega Mark
III. I'm just going to go with my gut and say the Saturn.
Oh, it's the Master System.
What? What was Sega Mark 1?
I've no idea.
What's Sega Mark 2?
Maybe they were prototypes, or they were versions that never made it to market. The Mark 3 is the only one that made it to market.
Wow. Well, we've all learned something.
Well, no, we haven't. We should learn. We should learn why is it called the Mark 3, but never mind. In DS style, you should probably Google it right now.
No, I want to remain ignorant on that.
Okay, cool, fine.
I just want to know that the Master System is the Mark III.
Yep. Just keep it in your mind.
Just keep it in my mind.
Yep. Wow.
0 points for the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, not great, really.
No. Shall we head back in?
Yeah, let's head back in. We should probably continue on with Mario Party. I think feel like we have more to say about that game. Or do we?
I don't think we do, no.
No, we never touched on mini games.
No, there's mini games.
There's mini games. Okay, cool. Okay,
That series took a dip, didn't it? One of them was really bad.
Yeah, there was one on the Wii U, which I was excited about and I got, and we all hated it. Like, unanimously, you're like, yeah, I'm not playing this. Whereas we play the one on the Switch and we're just like, when can we next play it, you know?
Yeah, you got so much to do.
Yeah. It's so odd because it was a day one purchase for me, that the one on the Wii U. It's like one of the few ones that I was excited about.
Well, this is yet another reason why your Wii U memories are just scorched earth.
Yeah.
Not just the fact that it broke, but also that Mario Party was the worst.
It was the worst Mario Party.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the series is back to its good self once again.
Yeah. And, of course, you can revisit the old ones. So I want to talk about the other elephant in the room. Given that our roots are as a Resident Evil video games blog, the board game based on the video game, Resident Evil 2, which we have been playing through and enjoying. Or, I say that, have you been enjoying it?
I have been enjoying it. It was a bit rough to start. So I think it was a Kickstarter thing, wasn't it? But you can now find it
everywhere,
everywhere. Every reputable board game shop. And it's a bit rough to start with, especially because we were playing it maybe once a year. But you know, it's a high quality modern board game, which has hundreds of little bits and lots of rules. But you play through different scenarios. It's, how do you describe those games? It's cooperative, and you're kind of playing you're playing a rule set. So there is like a, no one plays as the bad guy. It all automatically happens through card generation and random events.
So there's a nice random factor. So you have a map that you make and put out. You have characters that can move along that map based on dice rolls. And then you have the random factor as you move around the map, which are dictated by cards.
What's it called? You have at the end of every phase, it's a...
It's not at the end of every phase. It's a something phase, or it's a something phase, or it's a draw phase.
Tension phase.
Yeah. So you got draw phase, tension phase, things like that. Yeah. And the creators are Steamforged Games.
There we go. They make some beautiful minis. There's various expansions. Characters have strengths and weaknesses, and each mission broadly following the events of Resident Evil 2.
Yep. Well, broadly, but also broadly, Resident Evil 2 Disc 1. Resident Evil Disc. Claire A scenario or Leon B scenario. That's really, really cool.
It is. I think it's a really good version of it. Treats the the source material with a lot of love and respect, and through the mechanic of this kind of deck of monsters as well as zombies and whatnot, which are automatically in there, you do end up with horrible scenarios that somebody's hanging back. Oh, just go and check this sparkly thing that spawns two zombies, and then there's a zombie dog in the tension phase, and then all of a sudden
you're overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed, you're running out of bullets. So it does a really, really good job at kind of reconstructing some of the aspects of survival horror. And we failed a couple of times.
One time. Yeah. It wasn't really our fault. We did, you can play that game and it is tough, and it wasn't even like a tough level. It's just there was a bad chain of events and somebody was Sherry as well. Which didn't help matters. So we got the expansion or special edition, which included Sherry as a character, who's a character who can't use any weapons. That is what it is.
Yeah, but you can, her upside is you can kind of move through enemies, which other characters can't really do.
Yeah. And she can move faster as well, could she not? Or, I can't remember. Anyway. As you were saying, like lots of expansions, you got the Hunk expansion as well.
Yeah,
Hunk and Tofu, who are like the hidden secret characters from Resident Evil 2. Again, like so much love for that original game. And detail in there as well. And it's great. And there is the Leon B scenario, other things to get, little map add-ons and stuff like that as well.
You can play it as an actual campaign where, in some of the early levels, if you go out of your way, you can pick up some ammo for a weapon that you don't have yet, and then that carries over. If you're playing as a campaign, that will kind of carry over to the next level.
Good fun. There's also the Resident Evil 3 board game, which we haven't really talked about. It's sort of like the... We don't talk about that. Not yet.
No. Especially because there are only three scenarios.
Three scenarios in 3 years.
I think it's also Steamforged. And in 3 years' time, we might get to it. I also received the Horizon Zero Dawn board game.
Yes.
Which is of a similar ilk. Beautiful miniatures, and some intriguing looking tile sets, which I think fairly accurately represent the game. So yeah, really excited at some point. Crack that open and spend a frustrating few hours learning how to play it, and then have a good time after that.
Yeah, that's true. One thing that you've gone and become is the game master, the rule keeper of every single one of those sessions.
Yeah, I think if you're playing it frequently, it's much less hard to to remember how the whole thing works.
They also do a Devil May Cry 5 one.
Really?
Based on the Battle Tower. I have no idea.
How does that work?
I mean, I'd love to think there's some sort of combo system involved.
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But yeah, I have no idea. I was just aware that it existed because I've signed up to everything they do. I'm like, oh, Devil May Cry. But yeah. Do you want to say anything more about Resident Evil?
No, I don't. But I kind of like the idea of the first half of the podcast being board games which are video games, and the second half being board games which are video games.
I mean, I like that idea as well, except I still did have Pictionary for the C64.
Go on then. Talk about Pictionary. How does Pictionary work on the C64?
Very, very quickly, it tells you something to draw.
Yeah.
And it tells the other team can't look. So one person looks at the screen, gets a thing that they have to draw.
Yeah.
They draw it, and if the other team gets it...
Such a backward way of playing Pictionary. Yeah.
And then if the other team gets it, it asks you, did you get it?
Did the team get it? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
What a way to make a game which its core you can play with a piece of paper and a pencil into way more silly elements.
Yep. I mean, yeah, I think that's all we need to say about that. We can move on. Yeah, move back to...
Was it officially licensed?
I'm going to say yes, since Trivial Pursuit was as well. I have no idea.
Did you get the answer correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. I love that. I might take that forward as a philosophy in life, just asking people.
Yeah, everything is on the honor system.
Yeah.
For the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the honor system, although it wouldn't work for politicians.
Yeah. If you cheat, you just cheat yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, like.
How does that make you feel? Just cheat yourself. You've let everybody down.
But like Boris Johnson, though, he's like, did you do these things? No. All right. Okay. Fine. Cool.
Thing is, he wouldn't even know if he was lying or not.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it's not based on a video game, but it is heavily inspired by a video game. There's another game we've been playing together, which is Boss Monster.
Boss Monster, yes, with all the retro packaging and stuff like that. I love that.
Building card game. So it's a really fun... Is it fun? I think it's fun.
It is fun. It's very fun.
I think people we play it with sometimes think it's fun. but it's, yeah, really nice. It's based on cards, and the packages and the expansions are like little Game Boy boxes.
Yeah, well, the main game is like a NES cartridge, and the expansions are like Game Boy pack.
So cool.
Yeah.
And the aim is that you are a boss monster, and you have to build and kind of level up your dungeon, whilst heroes from the nearby village come and try and storm your dungeon. You kind of got various kind of traps and tricks which push the heroes back, so they have to redo a room. I think there's like items you can get, you can upgrade your room so they do more damage, to try and kill off as many heroes as possible. But you compete against each other in four different dungeons, so each of you is making a different dungeon.
And yeah, of course, the heroes have different powers as well. They yes. can like avoid certain things, or they have more HP, or things of that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And no. yeah, it's solid, almost roguelike mechanics as well. Sort of like multiplicative. Like if you have two of these rooms, then it's got double the power of the next room. That sort of yeah. stuff. Really, really cool.
Yeah, and the lovely, lovely thing I think about it, which really brings it all together, is each of the cards, rooms, your boss monster, and all your boss monsters kind of take inspiration from, you know, there's a lot of like Metroid inspired boss monsters, and yeah, kind of classics. It's like a Dracula type thing, a mummy type thing, a giant frog type thing.
Yeah.
But it's the artwork, which is this like beautiful pixel art.
Yeah, it's like
tiny little details.
It's pulled straight out of like a more of a 16-bit, but yeah, it's really, it's glorious looking stuff, and it's just fun. I mean, you get lots of like these retro pixel games on your like mobile and stuff like that, but yeah, like the fact that this is presented in this NES and Game Boy cartridge, and it just feels like you're playing like a version of Dungeon Master. Do you play Dungeon Master ever?
Yeah, it was one of the, when we upgraded our from an Amiga to a PC, it came with Swiv 3D.
Okay.
MDK and Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Master, yeah. And Dungeon Master was such a cool sort of reverse. Build your base, but you're building your base to prevent like smitey paladin knights coming through. You're using it, creating goblins and skeletons and, you know, demons to sort of defend your base and create little torture rooms and stuff like that for them.
It's weird, isn't it? Because in my mind, that massively predates tower defense games, but kind of was a tower defense game. It wasn't that high pressure, was it?
It wasn't high pressure as a tower defense game, but it is it's a tower defense game in the same way as Warcraft was a tower defense game.
Is Warcraft a tower defense game?
But
it's a real-time strategy game, no?
Yeah, I would say that Dungeon Master falls into the the realm of RTS, but also, like, I mean, tower defense. I mean, all League of Legends is a tower defense game that's in a world of, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft or Starcraft map. You know, all of these MOBAs are just tower defense games. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're. No, it's the core mechanic, right? It's
yeah.
Taking out each other's areas and trying to defend that. Well, I can't remember. So I just remember having a lot of fun playing Dungeon Master. Because one of the things you could do was it's the same as Roller Coaster Tycoon as well. Is you could zoom into the world to see it from your minion's viewpoint.
Yeah.
That's what I really loved about it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of make a dungeon and then see what it would look like through a peon's eyes.
Yeah, and that stuff, that was revolutionary at that time. But Dungeon Master is still a very, very playable game.
Is it called Dungeon Master? There's an old, really old Dungeon Master.
There's Dungeon Master and Dungeon Master 2. Dungeon Master 2 was a sequel that did a sequel well.
Because Dungeon Master's like, you're navigating through, it's like a maze exploration game, right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I... you're making me check.
Dungeon... That's fine.
Oh my god. Dungeon Master... What is it I'm thinking of then?
I know. We're talking about the same game.
Yeah, with the red
keeper.
Demon.
Keeper? Dungeon Keeper?
Dungeon Keeper.
Sorry.
Yes.
There you go.
Dungeon
there
Keeper.
There you go.
Oh, god. Oh. I know.
Some people just screaming at the podcast.
Probably us in the future.
What are you talking about? Dungeon Keeper! You idiot!
Well, you and your stupid... Oh, I hate your fucking voice, Richie.
Just do one piece of research, Jesus Christ.
No wonder this is the only listen you're getting on this.
I'm not listening to the first three seasons. They're all like this. Jesus.
Right. Yes. Dungeon Keeper.
Keeper, great game.
Really was a great game. What was the name of the card game?
Boss Monster.
Boss Keeper. Dungeon Monster.
Dungeon Boss. Shadow Dungeons.
I really enjoyed that one as well. Are there any other video game inspired board games that you can think of? I don't know which was first with Atomic Kittens, because I know there is a video game version of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Surely it was in my mind, which is my saying, my phrase this episode.
In my mind.
That was a Kickstarter. As a card game, but I
don't know. Yeah. Shall we make it the fifth Google, or do we not care enough?
Come on.
I've forgotten what it's called. I'm typing Atomic Kitten.
Earlier when you were talking about Trivial Pursuit on the Switch, I googled Switch. AliExpress light switches for the best.
Yeah. Scrolling through all these light switches, unable to kind of work out what you're talking.
I don't know what he's talking about. It's Trivial Pursuit. It's just light switches.
Atomic Kitten, man, no.
Atomic Kitten.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say it was a card game first. But is also available as a collectible card game gaming thing on your mobile. But I've played the I got you the zombie one. But
yes,
the one I have is the NSFW one, where you've got like the dildo wizard and stuff like that.
Naughty.
And other cat or pussy related joked. I can't think of many other adaptations. I mean, obviously there's probably plenty under the Steamforged umbrella, because they seem to have that niche. Oh, we've played Monopoly, but in Pokemon world.
Yeah, we played Pokemon themed Monopoly. There's also Fortnite themed Monopoly. I'm sure there's
Everything themed.
Yeah.
There is probably like a Leeds themed Monopoly.
There is. With the castle and stuff. And the other one I was going to talk about is, although you know, are card games board games?
No, I mean,
we just talked about two.
Those CCGs, and in fact I would say even like Resident Evil is kind of a card game as well.
Yes. Deck based.
Yeah. I would say they're fine. I would say if you're talking about card games as in 52 cards, hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades, I would say no. Like they are not board games, they are card games.
Well, as you may or may not know, you can actually play a game with Pokemon cards.
Oh, of course, like the TCG. Is that not, did it not get like taken down or something like that, or revamped or refreshed?
Yeah, so the online, there was a online version of the game, and there's basically like three big CCGs. There's Magic, there's Hearthstone, I guess. And then
of course,
the Pokemon
card
game. I'm sure Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm not too sure Yu-Gi-Oh has.
Yu-Gi-Oh does have a card game,
but it also because it also has game
and a video
games.
Game. Yeah. So yeah, the video games that I played, were they were great.
Oh,
like,
really?
They first came out on the PC, and it was like Yu-Gi-Oh, and then you got the expansion Kaiba's Revenge, and they were online playable back when games weren't very good at being online playable. And I played.
This is like another one of your Richie's secret. We make this a regular segment. Richie secretly played.
But I played with Randy McSporran.
Yeah.
Like, played versus online, because he had it as well. And it was a great great card game. Yeah. And the thing was, it was limited as well. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like, if you could go back to the days of only playing the base original Pokemon cards.
Yeah, like the GB.
Like the GBA, yeah. Or just that limited scope, but even with all of the flashy, fancy graphics of other things, it becomes a little bit more fun. Yeah. And it's the same reason I don't play Hearthstone anymore, because it's just oversaturated. And they've had culls, and they've had nerfs, and they've had reinstated, and they've got all this other stuff. But when it first came out, I played it and enjoyed it. All of the expansions killed it. But the thing is, with these games, I think they only ever made three. And you can go back, I think you can play them on good old games. Uh-huh. And still solid, fun Yu-Gi-Oh! Card games. Only thing I know about Yu-Gi-Oh! Other than there is a main character called Yugi.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Great.
But, great games.
That's right, yeah, I'm supposed to play. So with with the TCG, there was the Game Boy game, and there was the second Game Boy game that we didn't get a release of outside of Japan. Those were great. I downloaded the Pokemon card game for the 3DS. And it's just great to jump in, you know, like you said, with the limited, just that first two sets, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And an element of, you know, you keep beating characters to get booster packs to try and collect them, and then there's that some you can only get through trades. Really, really good, really enjoyable. I hope it comes to Nintendo Switch Online, and I'll probably play through it again when it does. I'm sure they don't have licensing issues with themselves, who knows. Then for a long time there's a game called PCTGO, and so one of the good things about the Pokemon card game is with every booster, since I think the Black and White era, you would get a code card, and the code card kind of unlocks an online booster pack. But that client was so old, and they just replaced it, I think, last year. Well, they said they were going to replace it, then it took ages for them to do it, and then recently they, it was quite controversial, because there was like a time window where you could transfer your collection across to the new version, which is Pokemon TCG Live, which didn't work, really bad launch, but then what they don't, and so you can only migrate one way. In some ways it was quite good, because if you had more than in Pokemon TCGO, you could have like 50 versions of some crappy EV card, right? That's a common that you open loads of booster packs for. And you'd keep four, because you can only have four in a deck, and then it would convert the other 46, would give you a currency to buy cards. So this was good, because before that you couldn't really acquire the cards you needed. So in real life, if you wanted a competitive deck, you could spend hundreds of pounds or trade, but realistically spend hundreds of pounds to get the cards you wanted. In TCGO, you just had to just keep buying booster packs, real booster packs, and putting the codes in. There was no way to give that game money, or trade with other players, but that was super sketch. super sketch.
Yeah.
And there was just no way, you know, if you wanted to build a competitive deck, there was just no way you could easily do it without spending hours. This one is much easier to build the deck you want, so they borrowed some ideas from Magic Arena, but you, at the moment, you can't play extended. You can only play with like what's currently in the standard format, which is the last four sets or something.
Ugh,
so
okay, yeah.
all of my cards going back to X and Y. I think there was some that just didn't even migrate over, like black and white. I'm just kind of sitting there.
Sounds really accessible to new players as well.
I think if you're new, it's fine. Yeah, it's worth giving a go. It's on desktop and mobile. I think mobile works better than desktop, weirdly. And when you log in and first start, they give you four great decks, like really, really great current meta decks.
Okay.
So you can just have a really good time playing with those. You know, doing your dailies, earning things, earning really generous at giving you cards. So yeah, generally speaking, it's a really good. It's been a really good overhaul. The whole downside to it is games take too long. It's like 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, and if you're playing it on mobile, that's also not great. But it's a significant advantage over better products than. TCGO, which is getting really, really dated. And yeah, it's really good that they kind of give you those really, really good decks because, as you mentioned earlier with Yu-Gi-Oh, there's just this insane power creep. All out every five sets, there's a new mechanic, which means all of your good cards, or, you know, all of your good cards are no longer relevant, or the good cards which made your Pokemon VMAX combos are generally being phased out because we're replacing them with Pokemon X or the double Pokemon cards. Yeah, you can't really get very far with.
Yeah,
I've got my Squirtle and I'm going to evolve it into a water. Like, nobody plays that.
Yeah, no, it was Hearthstone. I was more meaning with that. With Yu-Gi-Oh, all I know.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Hearthstone. Yeah, that's what I mean.
You were just given like these 40 cards that you have to collect and you do the thing, but. With Hearthstone, yeah, I think it was just really sad because like you would spend a season, which would probably be like 6 months, collecting the cards because you gain dust from doing and playing and all that sort of stuff, and then you've got your deck that you really love. New season comes along, new cards come on, but also just makes the old cards irrelevant. Like there's
Did it phase them out or?
Well, eventually they did have a cull. So they have this another meta rotating season.
Yeah.
Which ultimately says that some cards are allowed in, some cards aren't.
Yeah.
But honestly, the best fun that I had in Hearthstone was just like the first couple of expansions where it was just kind of like. It's straightforward. You know the name of every one of them. You know what each card's going to be. And then it just got bloatier and bloatier and bloatier. And you're just... Like, there's other mechanics introduced and old cards got updated with these new mechanics. And you're just like, I want to play the game that I enjoyed playing.
It's the same as Magic Arena, which... is kind of a board game. There was also a really good old Magic PC game, Magic the Gathering, this is, where you had an overworld that looked like Diablo.
Yeah.
And you walked around and then you did counter other people. That was brilliant. So me and a friend played that quite a bit. That's really, really good. And I think that's what I want. I'd really like a single player CCG, and I would play it forever. The problem with playing things online is, one, you've got this kind of like evolving meta, so I really enjoyed Magic, but then once you get to a certain rank, if you're playing online ranked, which you kind of want to, it's more rewards, you sit there sometimes and you're like, oh, it's one of these decks, and then you watch somebody, you know, basically pull off their combo on turn one. And you've done nothing, you can't really do anything, and if you aren't playing at the time, you can't really see the setup, so you don't know which cards to destroy in turn one and turn two.
Yeah.
And then the really boring thing just plays out, like, well, this isn't
no, and yeah, like, you get things like that, like, when, I think that's why they had to introduce the new cards, and specifically in, like, Hearthstone and stuff like that, because the meta was definitely a very, very clear meta. You got the Warlock Zoo deck, which basically had lots of 1-point minions.
Yeah, or it's either you lose to that deck or you win with the counter.
With the counter, exactly.
And that's it.
But there was other ones that like were dual counters, and I enjoyed, and I think I've told you this before, and I even did YouTube videos, or a point where they'd introduced this sort of summoning mechanic. Mm-hmm. So whenever an enemy died, you could summon a random enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the fun part. It was random. So you could get a random enemy of the same value, or a random enemy of a slightly lower value, or a random legendary. Mm-hmm. You know, and you could do so much around that, because there was like, if a death rattle occurs, make that thing happen twice. So you could end up with two of those. I had a lot of fun playing with that mechanic, and it just got made redundant almost immediately, the point where I was starting to get happy with it. You know, it's like, oh, right, here's a new expansion. Here's a new thing which completely is better than this. Everybody play these, get these cards. Like, oh, yeah. Fine.
Yeah. I think during the pandemic, where I was playing it every day, I did manage to kind of, you know, come up with a deck that I was kind of happy with, but you know, I hadn't taken from the internet. And then I think the next set came along and either a card rotated out, like a key card rotated out, and it was just, okay, this deck doesn't work anymore. Or a mechanic rotated out. I really would love the single player version of these. So every now and then I'll log into Magic Arena and just kind of play the tutorial just to play some cards and not have the pressure being destroyed by someone.
I think if you can find Yu-Gi-Oh! Power of Chaos.
Power of Chaos. Or I could just play the Game Boy TCG game.
But Yu-Gi-Oh! Power of Chaos, that's what it was called. And there was the original version, Yu-Gi the Destiny, and then the second one was Kaiba's Revenge, and then Joey the Passion or something like that. It fucking is Joey the Passion. It really
I know,
is.
That was so specific that it couldn't have been made up. Joey the Passion.
Power of Chaos, Joey the Passion. You played like as these characters, and you play the Yu-Gi-Oh cards with a set deck and things like that. Again, I don't know if Yu-Gi-Oh actually has like a card game really attached to it or anything like that, but I remember having a hell of a lot of fun. Too much fun for that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should play some Triple Triad. I think I told you this. I downloaded Final Fantasy VIII on the Virtual Console when I was on a big Final Fantasy kick.
Yeah.
And exactly the same thing has happened to me with Triple Triad that happened back in the day. I looked up a list of where to get the good cards.
Yeah. And then you found out.
I had one. Lost. Then he took my Shiva. And I was like, oh, fuck, he's taking my Shiva. It's all right. I can win it back. Played him again. Lost again. He took my Ifrit. And yeah. And now I've just got to keep playing this guy to get my good cards back.
Yep.
And that has blocked my progress on Final Fantasy VIII. I love that game. I want to see the cutscene where the garden takes off and we all remember our memories and... But no.
Yeah, no.
Stuck with some bully kid in the canteen. Taking my good cards.
And the worst part is, you can get your Shiva and your Ifrit back.
Yeah.
But you'll just take them again. Yeah. He'll take them again.
Yeah.
You have to play them with a shit deck.
No, because then you won't win with a shit deck. And then you get to the point where you don't have enough cards to even play.
Yeah.
And then you're fucked.
Yeah. I don't think I have the patience and energy. The zeitgeist for Triple Triad has gone.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, it's gone.
I think there's a Triple Triad in Final Fantasy.
There's a Triple Triad mobile game.
Oh, no.
If only that triple triad mobile game meant that you had to go out and randomly find people and do exactly what you do in Final Fantasy VIII.
And then you have to just keep challenging them and they take your good cards.
Yeah. No, I need it back. Yeah. As if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. Give me back my different. Great. Well, that's been That Guy's a Maniac DS Dice Score. What score would you give our dice out of six?
I would give it... Give it a hard one.
Weird.
That's a nice way to end the podcast. Give it a hard one.
It's a happy ending to this podcast. That guy's a maniac.
Why'd he bite me?